Yeah, I love my community. Mm-hmm. And perhaps the most important thing I did yesterday didn't come behind the mic while I was preaching a sermon. Maybe the most important thing was when I had a couple minutes with a four-year-old little girl and let her know I loved her and looked at her picture that she did in Sunday school.
Welcome to the Jesus Stories Podcast, inspiration for the road ahead. I see and hear that God is up to all kinds of great things among us, through us, and around us. But far too often these stories aren't told. And I think it's time to tell them. Because these Jesus stories have great potential to encourage us and inspire us, forming us to be a people who multiply disciples. This is a podcast of the Ontario Conference of Mennonite Brethren Churches. But whether you're MB or a friend from a different corner of the Church of Jesus, I'm really glad that you're here, and I'm pretty sure these stories can be a blessing to you too. I'm your host, Ryan Yancey. Thanks for joining us. People are meeting Jesus, and it's time to tell these stories. Welcome, friends, to another recording of Jesus Stories, inspiration for the road ahead. Today, we're going to be looking at chapter 11 of A Church Called Tove by Laura Berenger and Scott McKnight. Chapter 11 is entitled Tove Churches Nurture Service. We'll be finishing our time in this book via the podcast in the month of February, so second last chapter here. And I'm really happy to have with me Rob Patterson. Rob is the lead pastor of Scott Street Church in St. Catharines. And just for our listeners to know that we're actually going to be hosting convention. The gathering of our church is at Scott Street, and Rob and his team have been just what a blessing to have their warmth and getting ready to experience their hospitality in a few weeks. So Rob, welcome here. Thanks for joining us. And if you could just start out by telling us, who are you? That could be a long story, but we'll keep it to a couple of minutes. Who is Rob Patterson, and how has God led you to this point in 2024 at Scott Street?
Thank you, Ryan. I am so glad to be here with you. And I'd like to tell people I am Sarah Patterson's husband.
Wonderful.
So that's all they really need to know, is that I am my beloved's and she is mine. So I'm the pastor, one of the pastors, part of the pastoral team here at Scott Street. We have such a great team here with Jordan and Katie and Paul. And I am a lover of Tove. And before Tove was Tove, I think and the book was written, it was one of my goals to live, to lead, and now to pastor in this way. I'm just a young pastor. I've only been doing this for a few years now. So I love it, and I'm a learner.
Yeah, good. Wonderful. Yeah. And you know, Rob, that's part of why I'm pleased to have you on this call, because as I've gotten to know you and observed your church and your place as a shepherd among your people, I do see that commitment to Tove. And I think that is beautiful. So I think you have some insight for us. The other reason why now, Rob mentioned that he is a young pastor, and he certainly has the appearance of a young pastor, the energy of a young pastor, but he is not a young pastor. And so I'm excited, Rob, just because you have been around the block a few times, number of different settings and different ministry roles. You've seen a lot over the years. You work with leaders in a variety of contexts. So I just think that you have a breadth of insight in this topic. Are you able to highlight just real quick, like what are some of the ministry roles, locations that God has led you through over the years to this point?
Sure. What a wonderful journey. Everything from working with the North American Indigenous Ministries. I grew up serving, cleaning dishes for Native kids, and I have a great love for Canadian Aboriginal culture. To 15 years, in East Africa, again, falling in love with culture and language, serving with a college at UBC, and writing curriculum sort of stuff and teaching pastors with Carey Theological College. And then back home I taught and worked as an administrator with Tyndale University. Love that school, great school. And enjoyed working with Dr. Gary Nelson and And what a wonderful crew of teachers there. So taught and for about 10 years there, and then went to UBC, to Cary Theological College, and was a teacher and a vice president of something. And at the school, just loved the school too. And then back here to St. Catherine, God called me to this incredible church, Scott Street Church. And I'm just in my sixth year here now.
Okay.
And loving this place and this people.
Yeah, wonderful. And Scott Street is kind of a mothership in terms of the Mennonite Brethren in Ontario. A number of our churches were birthed out of Scott Street and just carries that that history. And we have been blessed significantly by the people of Scott Street Mennonite Brethren Church over the years. So yeah, it's been a joy just to observe a little bit of your people, Rob, and then your leadership among them. And so one other note, so if we have listeners who've been following along with Jesus Stories from the onset, one of our earliest conversations, and it may have even been our first, was with Rob's wife, Sarah, whom he mentioned earlier. And she serves as a spiritual director, an advisor to spiritual directors. And so she just offered some insight there in terms of how a spiritual director can help ministry leaders hear the voice of God. So even just to put a bug in your ear as listeners, that if you want to be a leader who pursues Tov, hearing from God and having a spiritual director guide you in that would be very wise. So I encourage you to go back and check out that episode, and you'll get a little bit more of a sense even who Rob is through hearing from his dear wife, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So jumping into our conversation here and the particular theme of Tov Church's Nurture Service. Before we get to the particular theme, thinking broadly, Rob, why does this book matter to the church in this time? Why does it matter that we're having intentional conversations about being people of goodness rather than toxic or abusive cultures within our churches?
Mm-hmm. I like to think that that the books that I read all will be meaningful for this time.
Mm-hmm.
I find this book to be prophetic, not so much as foretelling, but as foretelling the truth of Scripture. It reminds us of the simple truths of Scripture. In particular, well, I think of the book of 1 Thessalonians, where Paul was speaking to a young church. In many ways, this book seems to me to be speaking to young believers, telling us and young leaders how we should and must live according to Scripture, including things, such simple things, humility, living a life of humility. So it matters now, but frankly, I think it matters all the time. The truths of this book are just biblically based. So it is a prophetic forthtelling, reminding me of what Scripture says of what kind of child of God I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, and learning to serve each other, and today nurturing service within our churches is going to be our theme. But to me, as I was reading the book, the simple themes of learning to listen to, accept instruction from God and from others. So being approaching others on our knees, so not from above, but honestly as a servant, as a someone who's willing to die for others, recognizing that I've been called to a life of holiness and purity. Again, a lot of First Thessalonians stuff I've been preaching in the book for the last month, so I can't help it. It's a filter. I'm seeing everything.
Yes.
But this living in purity, this call. So if that is what I get from the Book of Tov, then I'm getting just some simple basics. Mm-hmm. You're learning to love God, others, myself, my community in humility. And then finally, I think the call to not be lazy pastors, not to be self pastors, not to be prideful, but always to keep our eyes on the cross, reminding ourselves that ministry is not about us.
Yes.
Ministry is about Christ and us elevating others, releasing them to serve Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the great themes.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and as you mentioned earlier, like this stuff is on one level, it's so simple and so obvious. And yet, in the darkness of our hearts, in our sin and our brokenness, it's pretty remarkable sometimes how that which doesn't seem obvious how pride, arrogance, selfishness can so quickly drift into our hearts. You made mention just that obvious statement, ministry is not about us. So Rob, yeah. What has your personal journey been in terms of growing as a leader to be someone for whom ministry is about Jesus? One where you have chosen to pursue a life of service. So I would imagine that as you look back over your decades of leadership among God's people, you can see points where, yeah, you know what? Like I was kind of drifting toward self-service, self-elevation, and other times where there's been, you know, maybe repentance and correction and growing toward the elevation of Jesus. I don't know. What has your personal journey been in this territory?
Mm-hmm. I think in terms of who I am, I'm glad that this is not a video piece, because then people would realize why I've never been put on a pedestal for how I looked. So I've never been tempted to be idolized for my stature or my great hair.
You and I are of the same ilk in terms of
Ryan.
The hairlines the good Lord has given us.
It's a blessing. So from the very beginning, I don't know, it's the Lord has been giving me the opportunity to work in the trenches. Like when I worked with the North American Indigenous Ministries, you know, cleaning horses for Jesus and cleaning out barns and taking care of little Bella Coola boys and girls at camp to serving in Spring Hill Penitentiary as a volunteer chaplain for a number of years, working with prisoners. So work, you know, God has not sent me to the powerful and the pretty and the beautiful. All through my life, he seems to have sent me to the needy, to the forgotten. And that's been the foundation that my life and my ministry has grown on. And I've loved it.
Yeah.
I've loved it. So it's just part of the journey that Christ has had me on. Mm-hmm. So, and now he's sent me to a church, and I love this chapter because it talks about doing ordinary things for ordinary people and letting do extraordinary things through us.
Yes.
So, and I am here, you know, I'm looking at my window at the Scott Street apartments, 18 mm-hmm. apartments that the church built for widows. And I serve these. I love these, the people mm-hmm. in them. Well, I can't leave the church and get in my car without saying hello to someone who lives at Scott Street in our apartments, and mm-hmm. and they're dear to me. So that whole serving the people that the world has forgotten is so good for your humility. Mm-hmm. And that's, so I've never been, well, I think one of the challenges is I finished a doctorate a while ago.
Okay.
There's nothing worse for your humility than getting a doctorate, because then people want to think you're different, or they want to lift you up. You know, they want to think, oh, he deserves more attention, or I should listen to him because maybe he's smart. But never be confused by a doctor to think that person deserves anything. So that was a great struggle for me, is to finish, you know, doing my degrees and writing my thesis and all that wonderful stuff, and then I come to a church here. Scott Street Church, where a majority of the congregation didn't grow up speaking English, and a vast majority never had an opportunity to finish school. So degrees and education are of limited value.
Right. So
if you come to my office, you will not see my degrees hanging on the wall. Mm-hmm. And that's purposeful, because I don't want it to be a barrier. You know, hopefully my education has helped me to be more thoughtful and more insightful and a better servant. But don't, there's this temptation. I'm somebody. Look at me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's good. As you speak, you're kind of, you know, you're hinting at some of these pieces. But what practices, if you're advising another pastor, maybe particularly a young pastor, or you know, we have a variety of folks that listen in, even someone who's, you know, serving as a lay leader in their church, anybody who's kind of serving, leading, shepherding among God's people, what practices and forms do you advise that they put in place or, you know, pursue in order to lead in a Tov way?
Such good questions. I think it's in relation to ourself, our relationship to ourself, our relationship to God, and our relationship to others. So in our relationship to ourselves, we need to have disciplines that are regular and practical and keep us in line with Christ's humility, willing to die to self. So there's that focus on myself, knowing myself and who I am, making sure I constantly remind myself that it's not about me. You know, when people say, wasn't that a wonderful sermon today, realizing that it's really not about me. And frankly, that's something that they want to say because hopefully because they love me, my omas and opas. So there's my personal practices. In terms of my relationship with others, I need to be willing to humble myself and to serve the folks who the world forgets.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, we are a very seniors-focused church, and thank God he keeps making seniors, and we will continue serving seniors, and we're going to serve them well. And that doesn't mean making playtime for them, but this means discipling them.
Yeah.
And I think one of the greatest learning that my seniors have had is when I serve them, and every Thursday we do a little coffee time and sweets, and I serve the tea and I go around to the table, and they're kind of going, well, they kind of think somehow in their mind, pastors, they serve, but they don't do that.
You're right.
So I love for people to see that a pastor actually went in service to others, can do the simple, can lower himself. So we have sort of two churches at Scott Street, one on Sunday and one on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The Wednesday one is a lunch church. Mm-hmm. And most of these folks don't go to church anywhere. And Ryan, you've been there. And I love that church.
Yeah.
I love that church. So serving others, people that are just ordinary people. And then in my relationship to God is just reminding myself that who I serve, yeah, and the nature of Christ and his journey. So it's really this, the practices reflect an understanding of self, others, and God. And it's how am I, oh, I love it. My wife, Sarah, she's brilliant, and she has her doctorate, and she's a professor, and just an incredible lady. And if you ask the people at Scott Street what she does, they'll say she works in the nursery.
Yeah.
Because that's where she works. And if you want to serve, take care of children, the helpless. You know, orient yourself to service for those who are powerless. And you be even, and your only power is serving them. It's so good. So it's seeking the difficult things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I get in such trouble here. Because, like, I clean the toilets and stuff. I don't care. I was a janitor when I was young. But some people say, the pastors, they shouldn't do that. And
Yeah.
But I'll do the difficult and the simple and take care of my church and take care of my people. So what does it look like? Well, it's not brain surgery, is it?
Yeah. Do you find that tension, Rob? Like, there is that sense of, like, doing the simple, and yet as a leader, you have a full schedule and a full calendar, and you're empowering people and you're planning events and stuff. And, like, how do you kind of navigate that line? Do you ever feel guilty for not doing the simple enough? Do you ever feel guilty when you're doing it? Like, what's kind of that internal conversation? Because if you took on the role of the church janitor all week, then you would not be operating the fullness of God's kind of calling and gifting in your job description. Does that make sense what I'm asking? Like, how do you kind of walk that line of engaging in the simple, the mundane, the ordinary, and holding that with this reality that you are a leader of God's people? And I'm asking this in a way that I think it's beautiful what you are what you're describing. And I want our listeners to kind of get a sense for, like, what does that look like in terms of integrating that with kind of the higher level leadership pieces?
Oh, I'm so bad at the higher level leadership pieces. We talk about being a leader. Well, if Christ was a leader, his example is a servant.
Mm-hmm.
He gave it, you want to know what I should be doing? I should be washing feet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So am I wasting time when I see that the toilet is bad? And we do have a caretaker at the church, and I love him, and he does a wonderful job. Mm-hmm. But if I know that there's people behind me, that some dear fellas, and the toilet is in rough shape, by golly, I'm going to clean the thing.
Yeah.
And if I think I'm too busy or too important, then I need a wake up call. So I don't know. There's a dissonance to it. Ryan, you never have enough time to do all the stuff that needs to be done.
Well, but yeah,
I never go home thinking, oh, I'm done.
Yeah. No, hey, that's, Rob, that's beautiful. And really, I think that our church culture in North America, yeah, it would look different. I really think it would look different if our leaders, had that disposition. That would transform the culture in our churches. And actually, I want to honor, I do see that one of the things I see with you folks at Scott Street is the honor and care that you extend to your seniors, and just like loving your seniors. And it's a sad thing. It is a sad thing in this time, in this era, churches that are, like, you look at church marketing and church websites, and you don't see a single person maybe over the age of 40 in the photographs and in the right, and it communicates something, right?
Oh, for
and
sure.
So, anyhow, we're so oriented. So many of our churches were oriented toward getting as many young people because they bring capacity to serve. They bring income. They bring kids. They bring all that, and our seniors that are slowing down, and they may only have a few years left. And in our utilitarian church culture, oftentimes our seniors are set aside because they are not useful to us. What a terrible thing to say. What a terrible thing to say. And yet it is seen across our churches, and that is not good. That is not tov.
That is not tov. So our ears are an untapped resource.
Yeah. I just want to honor you because I see you living out that commitment to goodness in that way.
We do. And we were getting ready for the ONMB conference this weekend. And we called the church together. We said, anyone who wants to come and help us spick and span the place up and oil the wood and vacuum and paint. And 20 people showed up between 16 and 92.
Wow, that's amazing.
And we're getting the place looking good. The seniors want to serve as much as anybody else.
Yes.
And there's this beautiful thing. One older fellow came, and I just love him. And he came to me and he says, Rob, I can't work anymore. My back, my legs don't work. And so, and then he goes, but what I can do is I can give. So he said he wanted to buy lunch for everybody that came to work. So if you can't lift, you can give. And that is out of a heart of tov, a good heart.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
No, I think of your comment that I just hate the busy pastor who's always an executive sort of thing. And now I've been an executive. I've been in, I've worn a tie most of my life at university, you know. I was, and in Africa, you know, I represented, and you have to play the part. Well, I love the story of Billy Graham. He was often told that he was wasting his time because he prayed too much. And there's the story of people who were preparing for a crusade, and they were going past the steps of the state legislature, and they saw this homeless man on the steps of the legislature, and they stopped to talk to him and to see if they could help him and invite him to the Billy Graham crusade. So they got out of the vehicle, they went up to the steps, and they found that it was Billy Graham praying on the steps the state legislature for that state and for the upcoming crusade that he was putting on. And so these simple things, prayer, giving, service.
Yes.
In fact, if you're not praying and if you're not serving, then I'm going to have some red flags.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. You've hinted in this direction as well, spoken into it a bit to this point, but with a church, so we've kind of spoken for an individual leader, for a church on the whole, what are some of the practices, what are some of the forms that can be put in place to help nurture this, this culture of service?
Well, I think it's unique to every church and the giftedness of the folks within the church. It's based on your location. I mean, what's true to you in terms of service. So what service can look like. I think we need to be true to who we are in many respects as Mennonite brethren. And as Mennonites, we know that service involves food. Right? And so there's something about serving as a church, giving food to those who are hungry. And I'm talking about real food. So inviting the community in and feeding them, the power back in Ukraine and Russia when times were hard, and as Mennonites, we started soup kitchens to care not only for our own Mennonite brothers and sisters, but for our community who were starving. So there's something, and coming out of COVID, we served in a very cool way. It gave such a wonderful opportunity to serve as a church community. So we nurtured this service by feeding. And one of the things we do here at Scott Street is every Wednesday we have a community lunch, and we feed, 100 people every week. So there's something about, so what should service look like? Well, it should be true to you, but it should involve caring for those who aren't cared for and who are powerless and who need justice. So whether it's caring for children or seniors or prisoners or those in poverty, there's lots of areas to serve. Yeah.
Yeah. Creating those spaces to serve, calling people into that territory.
Yeah.
Having that outward focus. No, that's great. It's interesting, Rob, as I was reading through this chapter and just thinking of my own journey, I think I had a good sense from a younger age. And as I was feeling a call to leadership among God's people, to service among God's people, I wasn't the handsomest. I wasn't, kind of layering on what you were saying earlier, not the handsomest. I knew I wasn't the most gifted speaker. I knew I wasn't the brightest guy in the room. And anyway, kind of was aware of my limitations. And so kind of being the celebrity guy on the stage, I knew that's not what I was set toward. And so serving among God's people, and, I don't know if it's, I think it's nature of kind of my parents, farm kid, whatever, not afraid to get my hands dirty. And if there's chairs that need to be stacked, I'll stack them. If there's whatever, like practical service, I've always kind of been oriented that way. But it's interesting because so along the way, people have described me as, humble, down to earth, whatnot. However, for a long time, I think this was subconscious, and becoming aware of it over the years, of how even through supposed humble service as a growing, emerging church leader, you're aware that you can get respect, the respect of people through humble service. And so anyhow, I just over the years have recognized that in my own heart of this way, even though it's not all the glory, this can be a pathway to respect, honor, influence, being well received. And so I share that just to acknowledge, within my own heart, like that pull to be made much of, that pull to be looked to, as influential. And so just with that in mind, like, so for a young leader, and as they're kind of, I think all of us to varying degrees in different ways, wrestle with this elevation of self, as opposed to elevation of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What is your advice to a young leader who's feeling that pull, who's navigating that the opposition? Elevation of self, elevation of Christ, how to be aware of that, how to tend to that, how to submit that to Christ, because it can be really challenging. If you want, if you want attention and accolades, just follow the pursuit of ministry leadership as a young person. You'll have a lot of people telling you how wonderful you are. It might not be the kids in the hallway at high school, but there'll be lots of wonderful people around you that'll just think you're the bee's knees because you're showing up and doing a devotional at this event or that event. That's a rambling question. What is your advice to a young leader in this territory experiencing this reality?
There is a key role for the Holy Spirit here. Mm-hmm. And one of the temptations for someone who is service-oriented or service-oriented churches is that we fall into the trap of being seen and celebrated. What a wonderful church. You're taking care of you. You have a prison ministry and you're going out, there's that temptation to be seen doing good, to be celebrated for lowering ourselves. And so that's where we need that sensitivity, that spiritual Holy Spirit sensitivity. Yeah. But you can tell, Ryan, you can tell if someone is who they're doing it for. Hmm. I don't know. I think people can tell. They can tell. You know, if you're given this glass of cold water so you couldn't be seen.
Right.
Or whether just like the scriptures about the Pharisees who pray in loud voices on the corners.
Yes.
In the same way, we can give a bowl of borscht here. And by the way, we have the best borscht at Scott Street. to try to be the humblest. Oh, that pastor, isn't he wonderful? You know, and to be seen serving. So we got to be careful. That's a real drawback. That's a common question. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Is it for Christ or is it for me?
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing this for his church, for his people, or am I important? Yeah, I love that ordinary word in this chapter.
Yeah,
am I willing to just see myself as being ordinary? What I'm doing is just ordinary. We all want to, you know, we read these magazines and these Christianity Today, and we hear about these great big churches and, you know, the wonderful things and thousands coming to Christ. And I'm just happy to see my children grow up and to see all these kids that I love in the church coming to faith. And yeah, I love my community.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps the most important thing I did yesterday didn't come behind the mic. Well, I was preaching a sermon. Maybe the most important thing was when I had a couple minutes with a 4-year-old little girl and let her know I loved her and looked at her picture that she did in Sunday school.
Yes. You know? Truth be told, that one encounter quite possibly had more impact for the kingdom of God on her life than the many who were just hearing another sermon.
Yeah. Yeah. So trying to be sensitive to the Spirit.
Yeah.
For me, the canary in the coal mine is often my wife.
Yes.
Sarah. So they, you know, she knows I can't fake it. We're married 36 years. Yeah. And she knows why I'm doing what I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So being honest with her and being open enough that she can ask me, you know, Rob, why are you doing this? Or giving me that smack upside the head and letting me know that I need to be careful.
Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, it's interesting as well. In the chapter made reference to the fellow who was the lead pastor of quite a large church, several thousand people, and he made the time several mornings a week to stop and have coffee with his mother, who is suffering in a long-term care facility with dementia. And what a beautiful story. I remember a number of years back reading a story of someone who is the president of a Christian university, and he quit his job to be with his wife who had terminal illness and to be her primary caregiver. And, you know, she no longer had the capacity to communicate, but he sat with her and he fed her and he cleaned her and so on and so forth. And that's where the rubber hits the road, where no one's watching and you're doing it out of love and commitment, not because anyone sees or it advances your yeah, advances your career. So I find those stories to be quite inspiring. One of the pieces in this chapter as well, it spoke to was the need for accountability and transparency for a pastor. Many who, you know, pursue, you know, celebrity status as a leader of God's people, they do it in such a way that there is no one around them who can speak truth. There is no one around them who sees what is truly happening. You know, you made reference to the significance of your wife, Sarah, in that regard, in that relation to you. Within a church, in terms of the types of relationships, in terms of the structures of leadership and governance, what does that look like for you and for Scott Street to have accountability and transparency around you as a pastor there?
I think Sarah plays a key role, as you said, in terms of accountability. So we share all of our communications platforms. So there's nothing in my life in terms of my communicating, whether it be email or texts, that she doesn't see if she so desires, because we share that, even the texting platform. So there's an accountability. She knows what I say. And she's a busy lady, so she's not always looking at my texts, but she's there on her phone and she's able to see them. And in the same way, we share everything. So that's important in terms of accountability and transparency. I keep office hours here, so people know that they can find me. So I am here for them. And I also have an online platform where people can sign up to see me, you know, every week and find me. So I'm not so important. I will sit here and do other things while I wait for people to come and see me. So I need to make that room for people. I have small groups that I'm a part of here. Now, I'm the pastor, but I don't lead our men's group. I go to
it. Yes. Wonderful.
But and I love it, but I have some computer programmers and electricians who do a much better job of leading the men's group than I could.
Yes.
I can parse some of the Greek, but I love that. So I'm a part of a men's group. Mm-hmm. I have a band of brothers, so a group of four guys, and we've been together for a decade, and twice a year we go away together. And we read books in the interim, and then we talk about the books. We pray for each other and communicate every week, sort of thing. And we ask those hard questions.
Yeah.
So we've seen each other grow, and we've struggled with our families. And so in terms of accountability, so that's outside my church, but certainly has an impact inside the church.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. That's and then just my devotion to my family is important to me, and my church knows. Mm-hmm. So I have, when I sit down at the Sunday dinner table with my mom and dad, who are 90, and my wife's father, who is 90, we have 270 years of wisdom sitting at the table. And the church knows that I might not be at all the events because I have people to care for.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep. So, and it also keeps me humble. I'm somebody's son still too.
Yeah. No, hey, that's really helpful. Really helpful. As we come to the conclusion of our time together here, Rob, are there any other areas of this chapter, of this theme, that you'd like to draw on? Any concluding statements as you invite us toward being leaders among God's people who serve? Who serve, living out Tov.
Yeah. And I guess I would add, who serve in humility.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I don't want to serve to be seen, and I don't want to serve to be celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
I want to serve so people see Christ.
Yeah.
So that's the filter through which I decide, you know, choosing is one of our most spiritual exercises. So choosing where I spend my time and how I use my energy. And as much as I would like to serve on boards and things, and I get asked, I am so engrossed in serving here in my little church, my ordinary church, with my ordinary people, that I don't have time. Like, my focus has been growing up with the church, mm-hmm. as a young pastor, learning to grow up and to love this church. And it takes pretty much all of my energy. Mm-hmm. So I just encourage us to do that humble service. And let me tell you, Ryan, I am a learner there. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to write a book about it because I haven't been that successful, but man, I'm trying.
Oh, that's beautiful. That sounds like Tove to me. What are one or two resources related to this topic that you would recommend to our audience?
You know, of late, I've been enjoying these books, the Every Moment Holy books.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So as I care for others, I need resources that I can read and share with them.
Yes.
So yeah, there's three volumes of them now. And I think, you know, I think, Ryan, we showed you them. And I love these things. So when I'm with people and they share their needs, and it's wonderful to be able to go to some liturgies here.
Yeah.
And then oftentimes I'll rewrite them in light of my love for the person and knowledge of their needs. Mm. And so always sharing scripture and liturgy and words of encouragement.
Yeah. Since you have in your hand, could you, cause I've got at least, no, I just have one of those.
Yeah.
But the prayers are very specific. Could you read us the titles of, like, one's like in my book, like a prayer for those, for one who keeps bees, or a prayer for the first campfire of the season, like very specific and beautiful. What are a couple prayers?
Yeah, for the planting of flowers.
Yes.
A lament for the finishing of a beloved book.
Yes. Oh, I have the same one as you.
Yeah, for sunsets, for stargazing, for the first snow, you know. And so
there's one, it's a prayer for road rage. So there's the odd time where I might honk my horn at another traveler. And Brittany's kidding me that she's going to hide it in the passenger door and whip out that prayer for the next time she sees me road rage, and she's going to lead me through that prayer.
There's one that we in particular have here at Scott Street. It's the Liturgy for Fleeting Irritation. Burn away the tangled growth in myself, my own unjustified irritations, Jesus, and graft to my heart instead your humility, your compassion, your patience, yes. and your kindness. Yeah, I love that.
Good. Okay, we'll link that. Every Moment Holy. Yeah, I also.
And they just came out with a third edition that I'm enjoying as well. In particular, a big part of my work is with those who are grieving. Mm-hmm. So I teach mm-hmm. in that area, and I write. And we just realized I did my 40th funeral here mm-hmm. in 5 years, in my 6 year now. Mm-hmm. So caring for those who are grieving is very much a humble task. So I've enjoyed the keeping. Every Moment Holy, Death, Dying, and Grief Edition 2. Yeah.
Okay. Death, Dying, and Grief Edition. Wonderful.
I don't think it's called that, but that's
oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay. Number 2.
Wait a minute.
Good.
It's called, no, I don't see number 2. Sorry.
Anyhow. There's a few copies that are all splendid. Yeah. Would you, as we come to an end, Rob, could you pray for our audience, folks scattered across the entire Conference of Mennonite Brethren Churches, our friends from other churches, other denominations, whoever may be listening in, could you lead us in prayer as we consider and desire to be a people of Tove to the glory of God?
Mm-hmm. Sure, I'd be honored to pray for our family. Yeah, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us and your example to us. Father, make us good, empathetic. Make us men and women of grace, that people would be drawn to us because they know that they'll be loved and forgiven and lifted up. Help us to be people first people, to be serving the children, the seniors, those in need, the people that the world throws away. Help us to serve them first. Now, help us not to be so busy being leaders that we are too busy to be humble servants. Yeah, Father, make us trustworthy. Man, I want to be a man, all of us. Father, help us to live in such a way that we are worthy of the trust of others. Help us to seek justice for those who lack justice in our community, those, again, who have no power. Help us to reach out to the least. Help us to serve as you serve, being willing to go to the cross for one another and for the least of these. Father, make us like Christ. Make us like you in our service, in our love, in our forgiveness. And Father, change the world, we pray, through us. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, thank you very much, Rob. Your insight here is appreciated. We're grateful to be on this journey with God's people alongside you and the folks at Scott Street Church.
Thanks again for listening to Jesus Stories. It's my hope that this conversation has offered hope for your road ahead, for your journey with Jesus, wherever he leads you. Be sure to catch the next episode and the one after that by subscribing to Jesus Stories wherever you get your podcasts. Also, if you've appreciated this, please help us spread the word, sharing the episode however that makes sense to you, via social media, shooting someone the link, or by word of mouth. To track with the MB family here in Ontario, please follow us on Facebook and Instagram at ONMB Events. And I also invite you to follow myself as I serve as the ONMB Ministry Director at Ryan_ONM. For more information, you can also check out our website, www.onmb.org. And last, if you have a Jesus story that you think I ought to feature on the podcast, please pass that along. You can email it to me at rjantzi@onmb.org. Thanks again for joining me today. Have a great day, and I encourage you to keep your eyes out for Jesus stories around you, because God is up to all kinds of great stuff.